Good morning to you out listening, all of KDRY. Again, it's our joy and privilege to bring you a message this morning from the Word of God. We're thankful for the listening audience and always glad to be able to come to you by way of this fine station. This morning, we want to take just a moment and give you the location of our church, our schedule of services, and invite you to attend at the earliest opportunity. The Helotes Independent Baptist Church is located on the Bandera Highway, right at the north edge of Helotes. If you come out of San Antonio on Bandera Highway, pass under the bridge at Loop 1604. From that point, come on out Bandera Highway 3 miles. You'll find our church on the right-hand side of the highway. The side street is Orange Tower. And as you turn onto Orange Tower, you meet in our parking lot. Our Sunday school is at 10 o'clock. Our morning service at 11. Our Sunday evening service at 7 o'clock. And our Wednesday night prayer meeting time, 7 o'clock. And certainly you're welcome to any or all of these services, and we look forward to seeing you.
Glad that we can come to you by way of radio here this first Sunday in the year of 1999. I want to challenge you with a resolve that we find in the Word of God. Seems like folks always want to make a New Year's resolution. Well, I believe there is a resolve that can be made and ought to be made. We'll find that resolve from the book of Joshua chapter 24. We'll find the resolve in verse 15, but I want to read for you from verse 13 on through 28 so that we'll get a picture of the scene and be able to challenge you with an opportunity and I trust a privilege to make a resolve this year. Verse 13 of Joshua 24, "And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which you planted do not ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the god of the Amorites in whose land did dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." The people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did these great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God." And Joshua said unto the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then will he turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good." The people said unto Joshua, "Nay, but we will serve the Lord." And Joshua said unto the people, "Your witnesses against yourselves, that you have chosen you the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses. Now therefore put away," said he, "the strange gods which are among you, and incline your ear unto the Lord God of Israel." The people said unto Joshua, "The Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, "Behold this stone which or shall be a witness unto you or unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God." So Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his inheritance. Well, in verse 15, we find the resolve that this man Joshua made. He said, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that are on the other side of the flood, or the god of the Amorites whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And as we start out this new year, I trust that you would come with a new resolve. As far as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let me get the perspective here for us now so that we can appreciate what's being said, and then we'll certainly make application from this particular text to our own needs and desires today. First of all, we'll look at Joshua himself. Now, he's old and he's ready to die. He's to challenge the people, for he will soon depart and go the way of all flesh. He'll have to die. But he wants them to know that this is his resolve, and it's been his resolve, and it will remain his resolve, and that's to serve the Lord. And I trust that that'll be true of your life, that you'll be able to look at it and say, as a young person, I chose to serve the Lord. I served the Lord in young adulthood. I served the Lord in middle age, and I'll still serve God in my old age. I'll be serving God when I die. What a resolve. Well, we need that kind of resolution in our lives this year. And certainly we need to be resolved that God's our God. We'll not have the gods of our fathers that were on the other side of the flood as Israel did. Now, Joshua will recount the history of God's blessing and dealing with Israel in the text and before where we read this morning. He reminds them of the fact that they were in bondage in Egypt, and that how God had, with a demonstration of his power, brought them out from under that bondage, has brought them to and into the land, and has given them their inheritance in this land. And what a God they have that has been able to preserve his word, to keep his promise, and to bring them to the very hour where they are, that they now can go into that land that was described as a land that flows with milk and honey and have inheritance in it. So all of this history is recounted for them. And by the way, it's good to recount our history, to remember where we were before the Lord saved us, how we were lost and dead in trespasses and in sin, that we were away from God and alienated from God and aliens from Him who could do for us. And one day he brought us out of our bondage, delivered us from our darkness, saved us from our sin, and set our feet, even as David said, upon a rock, established our going, prepared us for heaven, and we look forward to that day. We need to recount that history every now and then to refresh our resolve to serve the Lord. And I trust that you, with that fresh on your mind, will look now at 1999 and resolve to serve the Lord. Joshua reminds them of their ancestors and of their ancestors' worship. And he sets before them their options in this particular case. Well, I trust that as I set before you the options today, that you'll make the same resolve that Joshua did, and even the resolve that the people made that day. Tragically, later on, they would not live up to that resolve, but nonetheless, they that day said, we be witnesses that we've made this commitment to serve the Lord. So Joshua now sets before them their options. Well, let me talk about the opportunities, the options that they have before them, and even before you. They can choose the God or the gods of their fathers on the other side of the flood. Now, this flood is not the flood of Noah. Keep that in mind, that we're not going back to a time that was before the flood, but we're going back to the place of the origin of that particular nation. We go back to Ur of the Chaldees, and we find there a man named Abraham that God spoke to and gave him a direction and a directive and told him to go to a land that he would show him, and he'd give it to him and his descendants after him. that land is on the other side of the flooding Jordan. It's over to the east. We know it in history as Ur of the Chaldees or Babylon, and much akin, of course, to that empire was the Assyrian Empire. That's the area, the region where the man Abraham came from. Remember, Jacob went back to that land and lived a time when he had to flee from Esau, his brother. He had to leave home. Went back over into that land. And there he acquired his wives, but as they came back, one of his wives stole her father's gods. So it was a plain and an area of idolatry, a place of idolatry, on the other side of the flood. And the folks that we are dealing with today in our text came from an ancestry of idolatry. In the days of Abraham and his being reared up in the land of Ur of the Chaldees, the prevalent god was the moon god. They worshiped the host of heaven. They looked predominantly at the moon in that particular day. We come forward in history and we find Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. This man, it is said in history, whenever he would go out into battle, and he being successful in battle would have to come home and make his appearance before and appease 12 gods. And whenever he came back from battle, he would begin to make his tour around the city to the various temples. And there he would offer his particular oblation to that god in thanks for the victory that he'd won. 12 gods that he'd have to appease so that there'd not be any hardships or any defeats in his life. So this is the kind of gods that they could serve, those that were the gods of their fathers on the other side of the flood. So we see that they were many and varied, but they were not the true God. And certainly there is the opportunity today to choose the gods of our fathers, those that were different than we are today. No doubt in knowing my family's history that it goes back to a varied background. And there would have to be some in my history that would have worshipped other gods. They would not have known the one true God, and they would not have served the one true God, but much like these people's ancestors, they would have had many gods, even as was prevalent in the days of Abraham and Ur of the Chaldees to worship many gods. Each city would usually choose a predominant god, but they'd have many gods and many temples in every city. And Joshua is setting before them this opportunity. They can choose to serve the gods of the fathers that were on the other side of the flood. Now to us, it's strange in our society to think about idolatry and those things, but the truth of the matter is the Bible warns us that covetousness is idolatry. So we can be guilty of idolatry today and choose to serve the gods of our fathers that were on the other side of the flood. This is an option that is open to them, and this is an option that certainly is open to you today. Then they can choose to serve the gods of the people that were in the land before them. Remember now that this was something that God said they were not to do. They were forbidden this. They were not to serve the gods that were in the land before them. In fact, if you'll do a little research and look at the history of these people that were in the land of Canaan before the children of Israel came, again, they were a very idolatrous people. They were a very debauched, immoral people. And they had their gods that they worshipped and they served. There was a predominant god in the land at that time called Moloch. This god required children be sacrificed to him. The ceremony would be of such a nature that there would be this great brazen image that would have arms that were cupped and joined so that there would be a cauldron. This image would have a fire in it, and these arms of this god would be heated extremely hot. The drums would play and the music would play loudly to drown out the cries and screams of the children. And then they would bring that child up and cast them into the burning arms of that god. Heinous, cruel worship. Even the children of Israel would take up this practice at times in their history, wherever they would, either in actual fact or in symbol, pass their children through the fire to Moloch. Sometimes it was carried out in actual fact, sometimes it was carried out in symbol, but it meant that they were offering or giving their children to this heathen god that was in the land before them. But the thing about those gods that were in the land before the children of Israel, they could not deliver those who served them. You see, God gave the children of Israel that land. He gave them victory over all of the people of that land and over all of the gods that were there before. So why would we want to serve a God that could not deliver those that served him in the past? You and I today have the great, sweet privilege of serving a God who can do for us, as the Bible describes it, he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we might ever ask or think. They would choose, or they had the opportunity to choose the gods that were in the land before them. Certainly God, as he said, would cast them out of the land for that worship if they took it up. But this is their option. They can choose the gods of their fathers on the other side of the flood. They can choose the gods of the people that were in the land before them. But Joshua said, I've already made a choice. I have made a resolve, and I will not turn back. I will not serve another god. So Joshua, as the head of his house, made a choice. He said, as far as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He will serve the Lord. Now that leads me to a point I need to make. Fathers, as your head of your home, you are the spiritual leader of that home. You need to make the choices, the right choices for your family, to serve the Lord. How can you expect your children to serve the Lord if you don't serve the Lord? I've never felt it was right for a man to send his children to Sunday school and to church. He needs to take them to Sunday school and church. I tell you what, it blesses my heart when a man will walk in with his family and they'll fill up a pew in our church services. And he will sit there with resolve and determination to lead his family aright, come under the ministry of the Word of God. Oh, what a choice to serve the Lord. This man, Joshua, said, I'll serve the Lord as far as me and my house. First of all, I'll serve the Lord. And oh, what a blessed thing to see a father, as he has a spiritual influence on his children, and his sons follow in his footsteps, his daughters follow in his footsteps to serve the Lord. He said he had served the Lord. And I might challenge you this morning, as a head of a home, as a father in the home, have you made that choice? Most of the time, that choice is all really made long before we'd ever be the head of a home. We'll make that choice early in our lives, and we'll choose to serve the Lord on through life. But this man said, I'll serve the Lord. Then he said, my house will serve the Lord. Now, I am persuaded this morning that it is right for a man to demand of his children that they go to the house of God. As long as they're under that roof and under his authority, he has every right to expect his children to serve the Lord. Now, let me say this, that you cannot make children spiritual, but you can certainly take them to the house of God and present them before and unto the one who can make them spiritual. So Joshua, as the father and the head of his home, made a choice. He made a resolve. I'll serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Now I want to come down to make application today. We're going to have to make a choice today. We have a year before us now, a new year. And lying out before us is opportunity. We can do like Israel of old. We can choose to serve gods that we've served in the past, or we can serve the Lord. We'll have to make a choice today. We can serve the gods of this world. I want to just mention three here. First of all, there is the God of pleasure today. All this society of ours is literally bent on finding pleasure. Just whatever pleases me, whatever satisfies me, whatever will meet the need for the moment. Just the philosophy that if it feels good at the time, just do it. Pleasure. We have a pleasure-mad society today. I think it's tragic and sad today that folks have made a game of sex, and it's been exploited in our society, and people live just for pure sensual pleasure and gratification. The mind seems to not only be in the gutter, but it remains in the gutter today. And most of the entertainment that is presented as entertainment in our day is geared to such, just to pure pleasure. I'll live for myself, and what will satisfy my lust, whatever it might be. Pleasure. That's why folks even get on the drugs. They're looking for pleasure. That's why men get on alcohol. They're looking for pleasure. They're trying to find appeasement. We can serve the gods of this world. And pleasure can be presented before us as appealing and a god to serve. But I tell you that it will disappoint you. Then there's the god of this world known as fame. I want my name in the lights. I want to be known. I want to be honored. I want my name to be spoken and applauded. All fame is out here before us. It's much like the carrot before the mule that pulls the cart, leads us on and leads us on and leads us on until it consumes us. But fame can be a god that we can serve today. We can choose to serve that god. Talking about now the gods of this world we can serve. Yes, three. Pleasure, fame, and then fortune. Fortune. The pursuit of money. Now let me say that I understand, God understands that there is an element of need in our lives. That there are certain physical goods that we need, such as food and clothing, and those things that are essential to life. God knows all about that. But just to pursue fortune for just for the sake of having a fortune, it's a worship of a god of this world. You see, money is of no avail. It is a commodity. If we don't use it or can't use it, then it does nothing for us. Just to hoard it means nothing. And so we can serve that god today. We can choose 1999 as a year that I'm going to pursue the dollar. Or on the other hand, we can choose to serve the Lord, to serve God. Well, certainly, first of all, to serve God is right for man. Man was not created to serve himself, but man was created for the very pleasure of God. Just to serve God, to be obedient to God, to honor God, to revere God, to worship God. Man was put here on this particular planet to be a creature that could say, I love you, Lord. It is right for man. This is man's place. Is a creature capable and given capacity of God to worship, for us to worship God. Certainly, if we would think about choosing to serve God this year, it's right for man. It'll be the best thing that you can do. There's not anything better than serving God. And then it does bring reward. If you choose to serve God, you can rest assured that there is a day of reward. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll reap, if you faint not. After the discussion of the resurrection in the book of 1 Corinthians, in chapter 15, we find that there is a closing of the subject, if you please, with these words. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's not vain to serve God. It is reward. And then it is a privilege today. I'll have to close with that thought. Choose this year, as Joshua did, to serve the Lord. It's been good to be with you by way of radio. Now here's the announcer to share with you about our church and our services.